The unavoidable disappearance of Tom Dernan begins when a lawyer who committed securities fraud is released from prison, and it tells the story of his attempt to reclaim his former life and the financially and emotionally devastated family he left behind. David Morse plays Tom Dernan, the high-powered attorney, now felon, who after his release finds a job as a barista in a bookstore. And as Dernan's son-in-law and former associate, Rich Sommer, is pressured to find him a place at his former firm and help him reach some kind of rapprochement with the family. The play is written by Stephen Levinson and is currently at the Roundabout Theater Company's Laura Pell's Theater on West 46th Street, just off of 6th Avenue. I'm very pleased that it brings David Morse and Rich Sommer to our show. Hello.
Hello.
Is it fair to describe Tom Dernan as a kind of small-scale Bernie Madoff?
Being the one who plays the character, I don't feel it's fair at all. I take this very personally.
You didn't look to Bernie Madoff when you were...
No, actually, when we were rehearsing it, we weren't. And obviously, it's probably the first person people will jump to. But the scale of what Bernie Madoff was doing was huge.
Well, I've read that the playwright Stephen Levinson developed it after he ran into a high school friend from his hometown in Bethesda, Maryland. Her life had fallen apart after her father had gone to prison for fraud. And when he saw her, her father had just come out of prison, and she was struggling with that. And that, Rich, is to some degree what your character and some of the other characters in this play also have to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's sort of an exploration of what potentially a family's reaction can be, what the response can be when somebody who left them without much behind to go away for 5 years to prison, having sort of made some decisions that ended up impacting everyone around him.
And judging from what I read in the newspaper, this kind of financial fraud is a lot more common than we would like to think.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'm just looking at what's going on with this SAC thing at the moment, you know,
the
white-collar crime. It's one of the things I liked about it is you know, you could look at this family and it would be a family that you would see on vacation. It'd be family that your kids play with. It's not a family any different than most families.
We were fascinated by the possible roles of the other members of the Madoff family when that case broke open, questioning their complicity and their punishment. And didn't one of Madoff's sons even commit suicide?
I don't.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, what are the consequences for Tom Dernan's family?
It just blows them apart, and that's sort of what we deal with when we get when he gets out of prison, trying to find his way back into this family, and it's not untypical either. The girl that Stephen was writing about, it's exactly what happened with her family. Family that loved each other, but it was so devastating to them, it just blew them apart.
Is the unavoidable disappearance of the title his prison sentence? It almost sounds like a polite and acceptable form of reply to some kind of an invitation. Due to his unavoidable disappearance, Mr. Dernan will not be able to attend your function.
No, I think a lot of it is because he wants so desperately to be a part of his family again, and they are so hurt, and none of them have the tools to come to some healing yet. He really, well, I don't know how to give up too much of this away, but you know, he really has to get out of their lives so they can heal and he can heal.
Well, how do you prepare for a role like this? Is it do you think of him as a villain? I know actors always say, no matter how villainous the character, I play him or her as though this is a good person.
Yeah, but you read the play, you never thought of him as a villain, I imagine.
No. But he is very manipulative.
He's certainly manipulative. I mean, his tactics are questionable, but there's no questioning his drive.
No, it's a man who really completely loves his family. He really has no place else to go. There's no place he can go for work anymore. Like you said, he's working in a bookstore, and chances of working anything other than that are not very good. But I'm just playing really a man who really, what he has left is the love for his family, and that's what he's trying to get back.
Did you think about how someone like him would have justified what he did? He's not just a financial advisor. He's a lawyer, and they're supposed to know where the line is.
They should absolutely know what the line is. But you look at this industry, especially the financial world, which as a lawyer he's a part of, they are constantly walking this line of what's legal and what's not legal. They're constantly pushing the boundaries of legality. And it's like ethics doesn't even have a place in that world anymore. It's really all about the buck.
Well, respectable corporations like Apple pay virtually no taxes, and they do it legally. So it seems like the boundary between the morally wrong and the perfectly legal and the crime of fraud can at times be a bit blurry.
It's completely
They know their way. They certainly know their way around that minefield. And sometimes, obviously, they end up stepping on a mine, as Tom did. But sometimes they don't, and they find enough loopholes that there are ways around it.
Now, one of the reactions in the family is to sever ties as completely as possible. But your character, Rich, can't do that.
Right. I think, Tom, he had a different relationship. Chris and Tom had a slightly different relationship. Yes, he was his father-in-law first, but then also he brought him into his firm. So he was also his boss. And that, I think, puts Chris in a sort of perceived precarious spot. He may not actually be under Tom's thumb, but it feels like forever that he is. So he is one of the very few people who the status is not set by blood, but is set by their sort of social interaction before he went away.
Because this is not a father-son relationship. It's a father-son-in-law relationship. Mm-hmm. But your character owes him.
Right. Well, that's what Tom certainly tells him.
Well, at least Tom keeps on pointing out.
Yeah, that's one way that he keeps Chris sort of under his thumb. And yeah.
Although your character is married to the daughter who refuses to allow him back into their lives.
Right. I think it's a potentially sticky spot if Chris's wife is to find out, Tom's daughter were to find out that Chris were helping him out, it might cause some problems for them.
Well, there seems to be a theme here that the family suffers unfairly from the actions of one member, but they have also benefited from the fraud. It made their lives a lot easier.
Right. And even the their lives before the fraud were these kind of spectacular lives with their multiple houses and, their beautiful life. They all live together, and they even talk about the happy memories they had. And then to totally cut this guy out of their lives seems a little bit over the top to me.
And then your character, Chris, does feel a little vulnerable. Tom suggests that he could talk to the SEC about the complicity of others in the crime.
That's right. Yeah, there are some references to things that probably did happen. I don't think that in this firm specifically, everyone is entirely innocent except for Tom. I imagine that when Tom was taken away, he was the person sort of who was maybe signing the papers, but there were other people certainly who had their fingerprints on them.
I'm talking with Rich Sommer and David Morse, two of the stars of a play called The Unavoidable Disappearance of Tom Dernan, now at the Roundabout Theater Company's Laura Pell's Theater on West 46th Street. A surprise to some degree because the playwright is so young and he's already written a couple of successful plays, also done some TV, right?
He's writing Vegas. Show Vegas, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, your relationship is a rather crackly one. Is this something that you have to work out in rehearsal?
Well, I
or
think
is
it's
it right there in the script?
Way.
Yeah, we really cannot stand each other.
Well, I can understand.
Terrifying. That, No, we certainly in rehearsal did. Look, the good news is that some people have said to me, they wouldn't be able to stand having David Morse sort of let them have it in the way that he does to me in a play. And I say, well, if he wasn't so kind off stage and had already given me hugs in real life, then I wouldn't be able to stand it either. So it's certainly a acting thing that we are asked to do.
As actors, and I'm directing this to both of you, what's the appeal of playing such obviously flawed characters?
That's the appeal, because mm-hmm. they're obviously flawed characters. They're the
it
most.
It would be harder to play somebody who's just wonderful and perfect and saintly.
So boring.
Why even write about those characters? Well, I don't understand why you even want to go see those characters. I don't. There's no. There's nothing stimulating or challenging there at all. And you know, me as just a viewer or a spectator, I want to see those kind of characters, and I'm drawn to them as an actor.
I guess you never wanted to play Romeo.
Well, I mean, he's not a perfect character. He's a, I did want to play Romeo. I desperately wanted to play Romeo.
It's not too late.
Well, even so, if we start out giving Tom the benefit of the doubt, doesn't he prove over the course of the play that he probably doesn't deserve it?
Well, he doesn't at the moment, I will say that. But he you know, he is somebody who has been really hurt. And I would never want to say about the people in my own life who I know who have done questionable things in their lives that they're beyond redemption or forgiveness or hope. I think every family has those people. But he certainly has a challenge in how he's going to get there.
Well, the public knows both of you as much as anything through television as very charming and likable characters. David, you as Dr. Jack Morrison in mm-hmm. St. Elsewhere. Rich as Harry Crane in Mad Men. Is part of the appeal of playing these characters that you're exploring different facets of your abilities?
But certainly for me. I mean, Harry is sort of, on Mad Men, a pretty affable guy. And I think Chris Wyatt begins that way as well. But there's something interesting in getting to play someone who's had enough pressure on them that they eventually sort of snap.
Although in your case, David, you also played one of the most horrible characters in recent theater in How I Learned to Drive. Also in a movie like Dancing in the Dark. Mm-hmm. The chore for you is to make these people human.
Well, the thing about How I Learned to Drive, which for people who don't know, it was a man who was a pedophile. The way Paula Vogel wrote that character, she wrote it with a great deal of affection.
Well, she makes him charming.
She does. And she has a great love for him as well. And, you know, that allowed me access to that play was the way she presented this man. And I think that's what gave the audience a unique access to that play, too. But something like Dancer in the Dark, where again it's just a really questionable character. He's if you just saw him in daily life, you would not think this man he's a policeman. He's a kind of small town policeman, and again he gets in a situation where he makes bad choices. And the character I'm playing now is a man who got in a situation and he made bad choices, and his family and many other people suffered because of it.
Well, he also has a lot of personal magnetism. But do you think that prison has changed him? Where recently we've been talking about a certain politician who we thought might have been affected by yeah. a scandal in his life. And yeah. then it turns out that he continued that behavior.
Well, something I said, we had a talk back with the audience and this came up. You know, he was not in therapy for 5 years. He was in a federal prison for 5 years, surviving in a federal prison. He does not come out with different tools on how to live his life. If anything, he has to use his wits to get by in prison. And those wits are the same things that helped him survive in a business world.
Now, Rich, didn't I see you in Harvey?
You may have.
I saw the recent revival.
So, yes, then you did.
So is theater your main love?
I went to graduate school with a theater training program at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, and I came straight to New York with no aspiration really higher than being a regional theater actor, and I began auditioning for plays as much as I could and could not get cast in a play to save my life. So when you saw Harvey, that was my first time in stage since school.
The whole situation has been reversed from the old days when people established themselves in theater and then moved on to movies and television. Now you have to establish yourself on TV and the movies, and then you can get a decent Broadway role.
This is a tough town.
What's next for Mad Men?
Well, we have one last season. We start shooting in late October, and it'll be season 7. And then we are all cast into the ether to find our footing somewhere else.
Does working in television help you in some ways in working in theater because it's shot differently than movies?
Oh, it's just, you know, they're all different experiences, really, of working. Television is, you know, there's a pace to it and an energy to it that can be different. But different than like big feature films. I just enjoy them for each thing that they are and the kind of unique experience that each one of them are.
And you're nodding your head, Rich.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they are certainly, it's different when you have a short scene that you get to take about, you know, 10 to 15 whacks at to try and get an assemblage of versions of it that are put together versus doing theater where you're doing the same show each night, but you only get one shot at it each day that can be impacted by your mood or the weather outside that day or some conversation you had before the show.
Or the way the other actor delivers a line to you.
Absolutely.
You have to react because acting is largely reacting.
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Rich Summers, David Morse, two of the stars, along with Christopher Denham, Sarah Goldberg, and Lisa Emery of the Unavoidable Disappearance of Tom Dernan at the Roundabout at Laura Pels Theater on right off of 6th Avenue on 46th.
Exactly. 46.
Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Happy to be with you.